would stand together with me, please. Psalm 150, verse number 1 says this: Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. If we would have Brother Cross, thank you for joining us today. If you would open us in prayer, please. Amen. Page number 448 in your hymnals. Brethren, we have met to worship. Thank you. 343, Revive Us Again.
Trial, he God will prevail. Just past all the sorrow, remember he's still there.
There's no hope. There is grace. When you feel too weak to stand, let the blood take your place. And there's no trial he can't.
Page number 401, if you would, 401, set my soul afire, Lord, set my soul afire.
Set my soul afire.
rescued me from chains of sin. I now am free. It paid the debt of love
I owe. Redeeming grace that loved me so. Redeeming grace.
That you'd pray for the Crotts. They're trying to get back to the field, and there's just some hurdles there that are making that very difficult. And so if you would, pray that God would open all the doors so that they could get back to the field that they love and the people they love. It's our honor to have Brother Dave and Miss Grace Hardy with us. As a young preacher, well, that's hard to say as a young preacher. I still think I'm a young preacher, but as a young preacher, I can remember looking up to Brother Dave. Is always one of those exciting times when I saw he was on the preaching list. I knew I was going to get a great outline that I could use again, and I knew I was going to get fed. And so we've just made them a part of coming to be with us. And to be honest, brother, the more I've gotten to know you guys, the more I appreciate your wife. She's been a real blessing to us as Cindy's gone through this walk with cancer. She's been a real friend to her and encouragement, and that just means a ton, and I'm so thankful for that. Brother Dave, you come preach for us. Pastor.
Thank you. Well, again, it's sure good to be with you, and always a privilege to come here. There's been a few churches I made a mistake a long time ago when I was a young preacher. I agreed to go to a church I'd never been to. I agreed to go twice, 1 year and the next year. I'd never been there the first time. You say, what's wrong with that? Well, nothing if it's the right church. It's a church down in Texas, of all things, place I'm from. And the people were so friendly, shake hands and slap you on the back. But when you started preaching, like a glass went across there, just like that, you know. And it just didn't work. And I was there for like a week or something. I did the best I could, but I thought, I am not connecting with this crowd. So I thought, I don't want to wait till it's almost the year's up. So I got my courage up and called him and said, I think maybe I didn't connect with your people, and I never could. I did the best I could. You know, be nice, but sometimes you can't be nice to preachers. They don't understand. I just finally had to say, I'm not coming back. I've never felt that way about this church or your pastor. Always enjoyed it. Excuse me. Did I tell you earlier, have trouble with the voice in the mornings? I'll try to clear it in a minute. My wife says, don't say that in the pulpit anymore. It wasn't what I just said. It's what I'm going to say. How come Timothy can have wine for his stomach, and I can't have a little whiskey to clear my voice? And I'm going to get it again, you know, for saying it. And I know good and well some of that stuff the doctor gave you is stronger than anything you'll probably find in a filth or whatever. I wouldn't know. I've never drank any of that stuff, but I've had a few things from doctors I thought was pretty strong. So I'm sorry if I had to clear it, but I really appreciate your pastor. I appreciate those songs on grace. Brother Carl, thank you. You can't sing too much on grace. That's one reason I'm married to grace. I need all I can get in the Bible and all I can get in the songs. And I need it as a wife. But there are some wonderful songs about grace, and some that are not really all that old anymore right now. They're still right there. And that's another thing. I don't want to get on music too much, but I thank God for the old songs, not because they're old, because of the theology. Man, do I love it as well with my soul. And in my own church, I was back, and the music director is a newer guy there now, and he sang and then led it, and I loved it, but he left out verse 3. And when he did that, he quit. And my wife was pulling on my, she knew something was going to happen. She's pulling on, I said, oh, wait a minute. That's the most theological verse in that whole song, you know. You know, my sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole. That's theology. Some of the songs are just so general, you don't know all that stuff. And man, I love that. I'd come out, in fact, if you sing verse 3 and don't say amen, you need to go join a Catholic church or do something. Because you say, well, I don't feel right about saying it. Get over it. It's in the Bible a lot. And if you don't say amen, you know what that says? It means you've got grammatical problems, because God didn't put it in the Bible just to justify the columns. He put it there so that we would know we're supposed to say it. Because when you say amen to a Bible truth, you're saying, that's right. And when he preaches it and you say nothing, then it says to that person, he's the only one that believes it. So if anybody gets saved on that day, you're not going to have much part in it. So this is a team effort. Amen? Amen. So I appreciate that, and we're glad for Miss Cindy being well too. My wife, she would always keep me updated on that, and we're glad you're up and going. So, all right, Hebrews chapter 1. It's not an easy sermon for me, just because it's just a lot of material, and I'll try not to make it hard for you. Hebrews chapter 1, and we're just going to do verses 1, 2, and 3, just three verses. And once again, if you can stand in honor of the reading of the Word of God, and if you don't have a Bible, I hope someone close by would have one. Sometimes we can forget those and fail to bring them. But what a preacher says, if it's not according to the Word of God, you don't need to pay a whole lot of attention to it. I'm sorry if that bothers anybody, but that's our job, is to preach the Word, and your job to learn the Word, isn't it? And you yourself teach it and preach it in your own way. At least I hope you're doing that. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake into time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory, in the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Father, thank you for all that you've done for us. And I can't imagine what it was like for you to give your son. I just am not able to really comprehend that. All I can say is thank you, because that's all I know to do. And I thank you for the book of Hebrews, because one of the primary emphases is the supremacy of your son. And you've made it quite plain. If we don't come to you through your son, we won't be coming. And so we thank you. And I pray now you'd illumine our hearts and our minds to understand Bible truth. But then as we understand Bible truth, it's incumbent on us to obey it. Not just to obey, but that we ought to have the benefits from it. It's for our good. And I know that you want our good. Have your perfect way. Whatever is accomplished by our being together, we give you all the glory and all the praise, for you alone are worthy. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Well, William Lane, the commentator, said, the Hebrews was written, and of course I think Paul did. There's some discussion on that. It doesn't make any difference, I guess. God took care of it anyway. But Hebrews was written when their lives were really just falling apart. Now, they went through the Claudian persecution. Hebrews was written about 15 years later during the Neronian persecution under Nero. Now you'll remember that he burned Rome and he blamed the Christians for it as scapegoats and all the atrocities that the Christians faced. Like you read Fox's Book of Martyrs, or there's other ones to read. They would take the skins of cattle or sheep or whatever and then take Christians and sew them up in those skins and put them in an arena and turn a pack of dogs loose on them. And of course, the dogs would tear them to pieces and eat the bigger part of them because of the sense and the smell of the animals. They also had big parties, so to speak, and they would take the Christians and soak them in pitch, a form of oil and tar. And then they would fasten them to a pole and set them on fire. And that was their light at night for all the things that they were doing. Now, that happened to the people to whom this book is written, or this letter is written. Here's the strange part about it. I'm sure you've read Hebrews. But the next time you read it, pay a little more attention to this. See if you find they talked very much about that. Because they did not. The book is about the supremacy of Christ, not about all the problems they were facing. You say, well, what do you learn from that, Brother Hardy? Well, I don't know if this is the way it should be, but the title I come up with, the proposition I would normally call it, is whatever or whenever, because we don't know what all is going to happen. We've already been quite surprised here lately. Keep your focus on Christ. Whatever, whenever. Keep your focus on Christ. Now, I'm not suggesting we don't have issues to deal with. I'm just saying we better keep our focus on that which does not change and in which we can have our hope. So I just kind of like to see how much is encapsulated just in these three verses, and I myself cannot take the time to cover all that's just in these three verses. So it says, God who at sundry times, and sundry means a number of times. So he says, God spoke. Well, God did speak. As a matter of fact, he spoke directly to our first parents. Our first parents had the ability, they had the privilege to walk in the cool of the day in the garden and hear the voice of God. Man, what will that be like to do that? Always wondered if he was a bass. They're hard to come by you sometimes, you know. If you can get a bass and a first tenor, you got a quartet. Us guys in the middle don't count. Everybody can do that, you know. But walking in a garden with God, that was direct communication from God. And they messed it up. They messed it up for them, and they messed it up for us. And no longer could they walk in the garden with God. But there was early indirect communication. By the time you get to Genesis chapter 6, Noah's on the scene. He preached 120 years. I hope that wasn't just one sermon. That'd be rough on Baptists. But he did preach for 120 years. And Noah is hardly off the scene, and Abraham is on the scene and standing for the Lord. And he's hardly gone than the great lawgiver, Moses, maybe the greatest single leader that ever lived, was on the scene as well. Then following him, of course, was Joshua. And the elders that outlived Joshua, the judges, and some of the others at that time. Then you get to the times of Saul and David, and you have Samuel, and you have Nathan, and after them comes Elijah and Elisha. I like Micaiah, the one they call the prophet besides. And then as you think about that, and without mentioning the major and minor prophets of the Old Testament, I'm just telling you, like Francis Shaver said, God is here and he's not silent. He is making himself known. And he's always been making himself known. And you say, well, I don't hear him. That's because you're not listening. I don't spend much time on that. But you know, when you look at Abraham and Lot and start comparing those two men together, and you get over to, you know, what is it, Genesis chapter 12, for all of that starts in verses 1 through 4. One thing Abraham had, he had an ear for God. When God spoke, Abraham was listening. But you can't find that in Lot's life. If you can't hear God or don't know he's talking to you, you better be checking. Because God wants to talk to his people. And his people should want to hear from him. It said not only sundry times, but he spoke in sundry times, but he spoke in diverse manners, which means different kinds of ways that he would talk. Because, you know, he talked to Abraham through the angels. And then he talked to Jacob and Joseph through dreams. He talked to Moses out of the burning bush, and I love that story. And to the nation of Israel, you know, he talked to them in a pillar of a cloud and then fire. So the cloud by day and the fire by night. Talked to little Samuel on his bed in the temple when he was just a boy. And they talked to Elijah through a still, small voice. Like it says in verse 1, sundry times and divers manners, God spake in time past to the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. And so the incarnation takes place. And we're thinking about getting into John chapter 1. In the beginning was a Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And we know that that Word's referring to Christ. And, of course, we have the written Word, and that's the physical Word. But the incarnation was necessary. It's had to take place. And it says here, hath in these last days spoken unto his Son, by whom he hath appointed heir of all things. Like our missionaries here. And of course, the Bible says, ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance. I think I remember Bob Hughes preaching a little bit about that so many years ago, and then that famous service, I sat where they sat. And what great sermons I've heard, you know, from our missionaries. And we're his inheritance. An amazing thing to me is in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of his glory is in the inheritance of the saints. I can't really look at myself and probably a lot of my friends and say, Lord, is this really what you want for an inheritance? But God's people are his jewels. You get into Malachi, those that feared the Lord spoke often his name, and he said, and they shall be mine when I make up my jewels. And I don't know why God loves as much as he does, but he does. He's the heir of all things. Well, not only that, he says in the last part of verse 2, by whom also he made the worlds. You know, Stephen Hawking, the Cambridge physicist, reminds us that our galaxy looks like a big cinnamon roll with the swirl in it. It's medium-sized, about 600 million miles across. Our galaxy is one of 100,000 million galaxies. And every one of the galaxies has approximately 100,000 million stars. I'm feeling kind of puny, Pastor. That's our God. And that's him. And according to you're familiar, of course, with the Hubble scope. Excuse me again. And the Doppler effect, which tells us that these galaxies are going away from each other at 200 million miles an hour. I would say if we don't get to where we're going, we're not going to get there, Pastor. You know, that's quite a bit of speed. And, of course, a lot of people would say the fact that they're going away from each other does say at one time there was a creation. And there was, although many people would say they don't think so. But there's no other way to really come up with that. Of course, Isaac Newton, maybe the most celebrated scientist that ever lived, if you want to check Wikipedia and anything else in history, believes exactly that's what took place. He was an amazing man. You know, he's primarily responsible for calculus and all kinds of mathematics, and that he was a physicist, an astronomer, and a theologian. He even had his own ideas about when the kingdom of God might come. Pretty amazing. And it says, who being the brightness of his glory. The Bible said the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. We beheld his glory. And you know, when you get to that, he dwelt among us. The word dwelt, you've probably read in some translations, tabernacled or whatever. And that's what I use. King James as my standard, but I use commentary and stuff, obviously, to study and try to understand the words and things. And I took some Greek and Hebrew, but the word dwelt comes from the Greek word skenao, which we get the word skin. So could I say it this way? When he dwelt among us, he kind of like skinned among us. Somehow God took this flimsy material and stretched it over his glory. Now, I'll tell you, the first time that really came home to me a little bit, we were in Israel. This is a good number of years ago. We're coming back on a bus late at night. And some of those Bedouins that lived out there in the pastures and things like that had tents made of skins, and they didn't have electricity, but they had those Coleman lanterns and make a lot of light. And I looked over where those skins were sewed together, and preacher, they couldn't sew them tight enough to keep the light from leaking out. I said, that's the way it was. Don't you think when the wise men came into the house and saw Jesus and they fell down before him that a little bit of glory was probably leaking out? Don't you think maybe when he was like 12 years of age and they were in Jerusalem and they left him and they come back and he's talking with the doctors, the most educated people of that day, and they were astounded and the light was leaking out just a little bit there? I think probably if you go to the Mount Transfiguration, if we could have been with James and John and Peter, what an amazing thing that was to be, it kind of jumped out just quite a bit then too. And then on the Isle of Patmos, when John saw him, it was leaking out. We'll not turn there, but you get all the way back to Revelation chapter 21, I think about verse 23 or something like that, and God makes that new city for us, and he said, the moon and the sun won't have a job any longer because the sun, S-O-N, is going to be the light. Hey, his brightness and his glory is going to be so great, the sun and the moon would look like a flashlight. Because he's just something he made, or they are just something that he made. The brightness of his glory, the express image of his person. It just means an extremely detailed presentation. Jesus himself said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And I don't know that I'm correct about it. God can do it any way he wants to. I'm not going to argue with it. But I really think as far as seeing a physical God, Jesus is probably the only person we're ever going to see. And that's going to be okay with me. That'll be enough. I'll see all that God wants me to see, and that's going to be a wonderful opportunity. But we're in verse 3 here, who being the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person, and this is interesting, and upholding all things by the word of his power. Well, when you read about the creation, pretty much it's all pretty bound up in a couple of phrases. And God spoke, and it was so. And God said, and it was so. Every time God said, it was so. And my friend, every time God ever speaks, it's going to be so. Amen. Right now, back then, and as far out as the future goes. And that's the reason I want to listen to it. You know, when God created this world, he didn't go to Lowe's or Home Depot. He didn't have a saw. He didn't have a drill. He didn't have any of it. He spoke it into existence. And I realize you can't get that, and I don't think you can. I've not been able to wrap my mind around it. I like to use that phrase, used too much. I can't get it, how he speaks it. And it's there. If you just said house, what is contained in all of that when a house pops up? Well, yeah, you got to know how many rooms, though, what the dimensions of them are, how tall they are, how wide they are. And if there's a woman around, God only knows how much stuff. I'm just saying the complication of it is just totally and completely unbelievable. But the reference here is not primarily to the creation. The reference here, that was earlier, a verse earlier. The reference here is the continuation of the creation and the fact that it is able to exist. Now, I love Dr. A.W. Tozer, and in his second book that Warren Wisby kind of edits, he talks about the speaking voice. Not the voice that spoke, but the voice that's speaking. And I've given thought to that. Now, what does our verse say? It doesn't make any difference, really, I guess, what any commentator says. And upholding all things by the word of his power. If you go to Colossians 1:17, don't do it. Let me just read it. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. That means they're held together. Otherwise, they fly apart. Now, I'm going to date myself, and I may need a little assistance from those of you that know about Sears and Roebuck. So if I go way back, some of the early TV sets, I remember the first one I saw, it had a round screen about that big, and there was a snowstorm in there. If you look close, you think you see some movement, somebody moving around in there. Of course, what I probably remember the most is standing on top of the house, turn that antenna a little bit more, and trying to pick up something, you know. But now TV went off at night because we felt like you had to work in the daytime and you didn't need to watch it but so late. And it never went past, you know, for so many years, 10 o'clock. So you're just through with gun smoke or something like that, you know. And all of a sudden, the TV just has a screen comes up, and there may be like something like a peacock on it, and there's nothing happening except and it goes all night long. That's the carrier wave. In fact, as a carrier wave went 24 hours a day, it never quit. But the carrier wave does no good until it's modulated. When it's modulated, you get sound and vision. I know it's hard to grasp, but this is the best way for me to understand it. Right now, modulation's going on because we're here. We're talking. We're listening. But God is the carrier wave, my friend. He speaks. His voice right now holding this world together. And if it stops, it's going to just disappear. We're dependent on the Word, the same Word that hung on the cross and gave Himself for you and for me. And that's the next part of our verse. Let's just read verse 3 again. Who being the brightness of His glory, we've talked about it, and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself. That stands out to me. We have a triune God. There's three of them. One God, but three personalities. He did that by Himself for me. For you, by Himself. Makes you wonder what we've ever done by ourselves for Him. By Himself, when He had purged our sins. Purged. It is the original word, katharizo. We get the word catheter from that. If you go to the hospital, and it's never a good experience to see people with all these tubes. And there's a bunch of the little ones up top, but then there'll usually be one maybe about as big around your finger, a little bit lower. It's the catheter. The others are bringing in medicine to help. The catheter drains off poison. I'm going to try to give it to you as best I can picture it. There could have been another word. If you would take your sin, and yours and yours and yours and mine, poison in one of those tubes, and then we took collectively all of them here, all these tubes. And then we take them from all the other people in the churches that whom Christ died for and they've trusted Him. And it finally comes down to one big tube and one big needle. And Christ is on the cross. I don't think the scourging killed Him, in my opinion. And all the poison of every one of us. And He's on the cross. Maybe there's more than a spear that pierced His side. And it took all that poison, your poison and my poison. Ah! And He died. You poisoned Him. And I did too. And He took it voluntarily. We didn't have to give it. When he by himself had purged, you know, purged, it's gathered, it means to take out all the problem and all the poison. And then he sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. What a great truth and doctrine in this text. Now, I don't want to confuse, but I feel like I just need to add one more point here. And maybe you'll want to turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and just look at two verses and we'll be done. Now, I'm on a touchy subject just a little. You know that Romans talks about if we, whoever we obey, that's whose servants we are. You're familiar with that. And slavery, and that's a word that's so touchy now, but it's been in the world forever. The Jews had it of their own people. And if you check history, every nation's had it, and every color, everybody's had it. And right now, still very active in a lot of countries. I just want to bring out a point. A slave, over time, has had no personal rights. They are not an individual. They're an object. They're a tool. You can check the countries. Basically the same. If you take one of them's life or whatever the case, it happens. I'm not saying it's right. I'm just telling you it's the way it is. And some people sell themselves into slavery. They could do that. The Jewish people actually would did that as well. So when Satan took your life or my life, then he could do that and get by with it because he had never taken the life of anybody that wasn't a slave. Because all of us sold ourselves under sin. Our parents did that in the Garden of Eden, and we've been under it ever since then. But Christ didn't have a dad. Christ had no sin. This is the reason it's so important, the virgin birth of Christ. But now, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 7 and 8. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Look at this, even the hidden wisdom. Now, the word mystery in the Bible doesn't mean it's something you can figure out. It means it's something you can't know until a certain time. And if God hides it, I'm just telling you, you're not going to get it till he's ready for you to get it. I'm going to tell you something else. Pardon my grammar, but it worked in Oklahoma. Satan ain't going to get it either. As long as he's been here, if it's God's hidden wisdom, he's not going to get it till God's ready for him to get it. Verse 7, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained, how long ago? Before the world, unto our glory. What was it? You're going to see in verse 8, which none of the princes of this world knew, prince and power of the air, the wicked one, which none of them knew, for had they known it, look at this, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. You say, why? Well, you be sure when Jesus was hanging on the cross, the jurisprudence system of God, and God the Father himself being the judge, was paying close attention. And when Christ drew his last breath, the gavel came down. Guilty! You've killed your first innocent person. You're on death row from now on till the time comes. Now, that's not in Hebrews. He's right there, and Paul took care of it. What saved us put him in his place. What a great text. I hope this morning, if you have not taken advantage of trusting Christ as your personal Savior, I'm not talking about church membership. I'm not trying to Mr. Goody Two Shoes. I'm talking about a time in your life when you humbled yourself before the Lord, and like me and everybody else here had to do it one time or the other and say, God, I can't do it on my own. I keep fouling stuff up. I make mistakes. I'm a sinner, and I want to go to heaven. I don't want to die like this someday. I want you to forgive me and become my personal Savior. He won't turn you away. But I'm going to tell you, if you think you're going to make it another way, you can't. because he's the only one that can do it. Maybe there's another need in your life. Maybe you need a good church home. Maybe you need scriptural baptism. Maybe God's calling you into a civil service like our missionary. He's not old, but he's not young. We need some replacement troops, like you said. Besides, you never looked up to me. You can stand beside me and tell me you're looking up to me. I hope, and it's all right to have some humor, that you know Christ as your personal Savior. You are his son and his daughter. Let's all stand. Heavenly Father, thank you for your goodness to us and for these good people. Thank you for an easy congregation to speak to. And Lord, I know the limits of my ability. And I read this text again and say, I didn't touch the hem of the garment. But oh, that if one here that doesn't know for sure that heaven's their home would take care of that. And those of us who have, when we think about, I never thought about how much work it took to gain me a pardon. Oh, that would be with us every day. We could be back to that old song, "Thank You, Lord, for Saving My Soul." So have your perfect ways. We extend an invitation if there's anything anyone needs to do. Sometimes, Lord, it's just to remember all that you did for us and humble ourselves and just say, Lord, I'm not asking for anything now. I want to thank you for all the things that's already come my way. I'm not here to ask. I'm here to thank. In Jesus' name, amen. As we have a verse of invitation, if you need to talk to the Lord, and if you need to know something about getting saved, we've got men that can talk with men and ladies that can talk with ladies, and pastor is here. Hope everything is well. How long since you've really talked to the Lord? Either in Thanksgiving or maybe in, Lord, you know this area is tough for me. I need, as we've heard in two songs today, I need a little more grace. And what a great invitation. You're all. He gave all for us. What's your involvement in the Lord's work in the church?
Thank you very much. What a great challenge from the Word to be mindful of the fact that heaven can be our eternal home. We have to make the choice, amen, and the price that was paid for our salvation. What a blessing. I'm going to ask the Hardys to go ahead and make their way to the back, and I want you to greet them on your way out. Today is a brown bag, and so we'll be breaking for lunch. We'll meet back at 1:30 for the afternoon service. Brother Hardy will be preaching again there. And would encourage you to come and be a part of that. Brother Charles, why don't you come bring us the rest of our announcements and then see where disclosed.
All right, if you have signed up for the men's recharge later on this month, the payment is due by Wednesday. If you haven't paid for that, please pay by Wednesday. Pastor Pirate will begin this Wednesday. And so, again, if you haven't signed up or paid for the materials yet, that's also due by Wednesday. Our youth rally, looking forward to that this Friday. I hope that you'll make plans to be here. And if you have forgotten what you signed up for, if you'd still like to sign up for something, you can see me this afternoon. I'll have the list available to be a reminder that direction. All right. With that, we'll close in a word of prayer. And Brother Aaron, would you please lift us?